relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
This episode of the America First podcast with me, Sebastian Gorka, is brought to you by Franklin Armory. Shop freedom, quality, and innovation at franklinarmory.com. Franklin Armory, we are facilitators of freedom. What is going on in the Middle East? Did Biden's visit make it worse or better? And what is happening in Europe? Is Ukraine done for? Is Putin on the way out? Let's ask somebody who knows that man, has written literally the book on Putin's playbook. She was a DIA, Defense Intelligence Officer, agency officer. And I love what it says in her bio. It says, canceled by the U.S. government. Rebecca Koffler, welcome back to America First.
Thank you very much, Dr. Gorka. So nice to be here again with you.
And we're very excited that the book, Putin's Playbook, is coming out next week in paperback. If you haven't got it, guys, if you need to understand what this former KGB colonel is doing, then get it right now, paperback or hardcover. Let's start with recent events. We had an expert on Iran in the studio 2 days ago who highlighted something that I think is missed by the mainstream quote-unquote media and the self-anointed experts on geopolitics and the Kremlin. Usually, the Kremlin sees itself as a superpower, which means if they want to meet with, quote, lesser nations, they have to go to them. The mountain has to go to Muhammad. The fact that Putin went to Tehran, should that be an interesting fact in terms of who's going to who?
Absolutely. This time, Muhammad is crawling to the mountain, it appears as though. And not only that, the Russians are desperate to get the additional capability from Iran, the drones, because they are very much behind, Seb, the drone development, to the point where some of their own drones have our commercial off-the-shelf Canon cameras.
The Iranian ones. The Iranians have our technology.
And the Iranians stole our technology and the Israeli technology, and have lined up all of the clandestine supply chain networks and re-engineered a lot of the stuff, and so the Russians want to use them now in Ukraine.
All right, so let's do a little bit of red teaming. The CIA is famous for, during the Cold War, writing these psychological profiles of the enemy, like Khrushchev or Saddam Hussein. How is Putin thinking right now? So we've had a war since February. Is he confident? Is he feeling strong? Is he feeling the latest reports from the UK is that 50,000 Russian soldiers have been killed already in Ukraine. So if you were back at DIA, if you were consulting for the administration, writing the psychological profile of where is Vladimir Putin today, what kind of words would you use?
Putin is feeling strong. Yes, he has already chopped off about 20%, one-fifth of Ukraine, very strategic areas, the so-called the Donetsk and Luhansk People's Republics. This is where the industrial heartland is of Ukraine. All of the coal mines, the deposit of very high-quality coal minerals. He is also blockading right now the grains, the exports that Ukraine traditionally, you know, is famous for, and which allow Ukraine to feed basically their own people. Well, they can't get them out. And all those talks, you know, the trilateral talks of the authoritarian trio, Erdogan, Raisi, and Putin, the threesome, the bromance threesome that's going on right now in terms of the exporting and releasing Ukraine's grains. No, I'm not very optimistic. This is all a charade. Each of them have their own agendas, and those agendas do not include Ukraine and releasing the hunger. They're alleviating, rather, the hunger.
Yeah, to have Erdogan of Turkey and Putin in Tehran together, that is not a not a safe combination. How does Putin look at this administration and specifically at Biden?
Well, this is exactly why he chose this particular timing to attack Ukraine, Seb. Remember, the Russian intelligence services assessed that our chief executive is not only weak, he is also on the cognitive decline. And so Putin tricked Biden, having assembled 190,000 troops. That didn't happen overnight. Remember, that happened over the weeks and months. And when the Biden administration was asking the intelligence community, what was Putin's intent? And the DIA director, Scott Beria, General Beria, said, we have no idea. I mean, how's that even possible? What were they there to sip some borscht and nibble on some chicken Kiev?
I'm sure it's pretty clear after they took Crimea, isn't it, what their intent was
under
the Obama administration.
Yeah, that's their favorite. I mean, you know, you've worked with those guys. They usually are very good at what we call bean counting, right?
Yes.
Because you can count the number of troops, the number of weapons,
right.
You know, through the satellites. They can't, you know, get into the adversarial mindset. It's because they think that everybody thinks like Americans.
So when Putin gives long, turgid speeches on how Ukraine is not a real country, doesn't deserve to exist, neither does Poland or the Baltic states, was it only you at DIA who's reading them? I mean, what's going on? Help us, Rebecca.
I have no idea. There were three of us. We were called the Troika, right? The three senior intelligence analysts who kept, you know, waving the flag and telling the Obama administration, here's what Putin's plans are. Here's what he's gearing up to do. He was developing the required weaponry, right? The military modernization, in addition to the development of the doctrine that is more dangerous right now than the one that the Soviets had during the Cold War. But no, the Obama administration wanted to do a reset. It came up with all sorts of excuses, Seb. Russia's GDP is the size of Italy. You know, Russia is a gas station masquerading as a country. Every possible excuse, you know, to convince us, the intel people who are reading top secret information, to say, no, Putin is not going to invade. Well, here he did.
Do you have an explanation in your time? So you were born in the Soviet Union. You understand this culture. You've been following this former KGB colonel for years. One of the things I said for all my time as a Defense Department professor is, if you have a limited amount of time and you want to understand the battlefield, don't read the super classified, hyper classified reports. Read what the enemy is saying. If you read what the enemy is saying, even in a poor translation, it's better than nothing. So why are these people not believing what the enemy says?
I myself stunned. I have no idea. I don't have an answer for you. Putin never made it a secret, right?
Right.
The Russians codified the United States and NATO as their top threat in 2010 doctrine. Even before that, Putin in 2007, during the Munich Security Conference, he declared unofficially war on the West. In 2008, he invaded Georgia. 2010, like I said, he declared U.S.-NATO threat. 2014 doctrine, same thing. I mean, 2014, he invaded Crimea. I don't know how many more indications and warnings the experts need to believe that Putin is actually going to do what he says he was going to do. And in fact...
But what were they saying to you when you did these briefings, for example, in the Obama administration? They say, no, he's a nice guy, or no, he's just faking it. What was there some common response? I'm just curious.
Well, you know how that works, right? There's an implicit pressure that the senior people, the managers, right, that they place on you to change your analysis.
Right.
And sometimes it would take literally, Seb, 3 months to get a paper out, right? The flagship, you know, products like the National Intelligence Estimate.
Because everybody
ICA.
Had to have an edit.
Exactly. Everybody had, and all the managers, right, the we call them the strap hangers, they have to put their own mark. And at the end of the day, what comes out of the end is nothing what you put in, what the worker bees, the intelligence analysts put in.
Right.
And therefore, you know, what would go up is just like so it's, diluted.
It's all been diluted down
yeah.
because it's safe, because if you've been
exactly.
in government long enough, you understand it is a den of mediocrity. Never ever tell the truth if the boss might not like it, so just water it down. We are talking to the author of Putin's Playbook. She is the president of Doctrine and Strategic Consultant, former DIA officer Rebecca Koffler. You can follow her at Rebecca with a K, Rebecca with a K 0132. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. If you want to guarantee that you never ever miss an episode of America First One-on-one, be sure to subscribe. Go to your favorite podcast platform. Go to Spotify. Plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. It's absolutely free. Write us a 5-star review. It does make a difference. And share the links with your friends. Do it today. If you haven't already, please join us. Book your tickets with our Stand With Israel tour 10 days later this year in the Holy Land with my superb Salem colleague, Dinesh D'Souza, and his lovely wife, Debbie. You know the guys that made 2,000 mules? Yes, they'll be traveling with me and my wife to walk where our Lord and Savior walked the earth. Israel got it all wrong with their COVID restrictions. They've dropped them. I'm not vaccinated and I'm going, so you've got no excuse. Reserve your seats today. The number is 855-565-5519 or just go to standwithisraeltour.com. That's 855-565-5519, standwithisraeltour.com. MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You all have helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, my buddy, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back to my listeners. The Percal bed sheet set is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're on sale. For example, the queen size is regularly $89.98, but now for you, just $39.98 with your listener promo. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percal sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. They come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out on this incredible offer. It's a limited supply, so be sure to order now. Call 1-800-829-8468, promo code Gorka, or just go to mypillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and plug in G-O-R-K-A. That's 1-800-829-8468 or mypillow.com, code Gorka. So we were at CPAC, the world's biggest convocation of conservatives, as Putin invaded Ukraine for the second time. And just a few days later, let's put this headline up regarding the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, the most senior military officer in America, the most senior military official for the most powerful nation in the world, who at the beginning of the war said the following. Remarkable. Kiev, it's not Kyiv, guys, okay? Just ask a Ukrainian. Kiev could fall within 72 hours. Mm-hmm. That's the most senior military official in the United States who's still there after the disaster in Afghanistan. And then he said the following in testimony on Capitol Hill just a month later. Play cut.
What is the time frame you foresee, given that kind of understanding of the way Russia thinks and acts? Could it be something as long as a decade or even longer that we're involved in this type of conflict?
That's hard to tell. It's a bit early still, even though we're a month plus into the war. There is much of the ground war left in Ukraine. But I do think this is a very protracted conflict, and I think it's at least measured in years. I don't know about decade, but at least years for sure.
I'm curious, as a senior DIA officer, as you were specializing on truly strategic threats, you weren't focused on, you know, Vanuatu or, you know, Belgium. You were focused on the Russian Federation. If you had said in the space of 6 weeks that this threat will last 3 days, and then you said it could last years or decades, would something negative have happened to you if you'd said that in the space of 6 weeks? Would there have been consequences for Rebecca Koffler if you'd so changed your mind?
Well, because it's a government, I probably wouldn't have been fired. But I would never be invited to brief senior officials. You know, as you know, I've briefed the White House, I've briefed the Pentagon, CIA, DIA, directors, NATO. So they probably, I would be in the dumpster writing on some...
You'd be in the basement. You'd be in the basement of the DIA. So that just a reminder, guys, that's Mark Milley, who said 3 days, Kiev's going to fall in 3 days. 6 weeks later, he said, years. Maybe not decades, but definitely years. That's the disgrace to the U.S. Army uniform. That fat general who should have resigned after Afghanistan, but didn't. Okay, let's talk about a couple of things you said previously, that Russia is even more dangerous. It may have a small GDP in comparison to the Soviet Union. It may have a smaller territory, but its doctrine has changed. One thing people forget that I commented on early on is under the Cold War, nuclear weapons were in the control of the Politburo and the Central Committee. So the Communist Party had a very tight control of nuclear weapons. Well, the Politburo and the Communist Party doesn't exist anymore, and nuclear weapons are actually in the control of the Russian military. So in what other ways is it more dangerous than it was before? Because the Soviet Union may have invaded Afghanistan, but it hasn't done all the things that we have witnessed in the last, 21 years of... How long has Putin been in power? 20 years, 21 years?
Since 2000, yes.
Since 2000. Right, so explain why it's potentially even more dangerous.
It's dangerous because during the Cold War, nuclear weapons mostly played a psychological role, right? It was mad, mutually assured destructions. Both sides understood the danger of actually using this weapon because you could, eliminate the entire world, the entire planet. This time around, what Putin was doing, because of the conventional superiority that the United States and NATO forces enjoy. Our weaponry is just superior, right? Our precision strike weaponry, so accurate. It's like, it's more accurate than a surgeon's, scalpel. So Putin's weaponry is not, traditionally as accurate. It does the job. But what he decided to do, they developed a low-yield nuclear warhead,
right?
And that they threatened to detonate on the territory of Ukraine or anywhere in Europe.
And they had an exercise, didn't they? They had a military exercise, 6 or 7 years ago, which involved Belarusia, Poland, and actually the end of the exercise had Russian use of tactical nukes on the soil of Poland.
They simulated pretty routinely.
Yeah.
Dropping a low yield because it's not the same. It would be like one third of the one that we dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, right? Low fallout. But the idea is to dislodge the adversary psychologically and compel them to abandon the fight. So guess who understood that philosophy and tried to counter Putin? Former President Donald Trump. He authorized the development of our own capability to basically pull the rug from under Putin's doctrine. Well, what does Biden do? Joe Biden decides to cancel our own development of the low-yield war. And that is why it is more dangerous, this doctrine, because it is more battlefield ready. It's no longer just a psychological weapon.
It's
not
a strategic level end of the world thing. It's something that can actually be horrifically, but can actually be used because it's a lower threshold.
Exactly. And this is why Biden was afraid. Remember in the beginning when he was asked what would be the punishment, for Putin if he actually does invade, Ukraine. And he said, well, it depends on what kind of incursion. It's a small incursion. Yeah. It's because Putin instilled fear.
Exactly. Exactly. The book is Putin's Playbook. Please follow Rebecca Kofler. Rebecca, that's REBEKAH0132, former DIA officer and also president of the Doctrine and Strategy Consulting Group. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. If you enjoy these programs, please make sure you support those that make them possible. Great patriots, conservatives, and truth tellers like Mike Lindell, friend of the president. Walmart has just canceled him. Yes, they have banned his products at Walmart. Why? because he's a conservative. Treat yourself and show Mike some love. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code G-O-R-K-A and get up to 66% off his products. He sells everything now, not just the amazing MyPillow. He's got pajamas, bed sheets, pet beds. He's even got coffee. Yes, launched this week. I can't wait. My bag is on its way. Check out MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. Let's show Mike they can't keep a good man down. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Gorka. Rebecca, the latest developments from the Europe are quite amusing to see, for example, Germany. I remember in the 1970s and 80s, I remember as a kid, my parents taking me to Germany and seeing all the, they had a symbol. It was like the sun and it was a smiley face and it had no nuclear written in German. So this, the anti-nuclear energy, anti-nuclear weapons thing has been around for ages. And now suddenly they want to say, no, nuclear energy is green and we need to have more nuclear energy because Russia has a big spigot and a big tap and they can turn things off. Allegedly, Europe is planning to go without Russian energy within a few years' time. I don't believe it. When you look at countries like Austria, Hungary, even Ukraine that get a large amount of their natural gas from Russia, Russia still has a great power over them, doesn't it? And it will do for the foreseeable future.
Regretfully, yes, Russia has tremendous leverage. Germany may be saying it right now. You know, what's the temperature? It's still summer, right?
Right.
As we are nearing winter, they're going to change their tune because Putin definitely is going to use that energy weapon that he has to dial up and dial down the flows of both oil and gas, right? Because that is his premier weapon. Remember, Putin looks not just at the battlefield, at the military component of this whole war. In fact, they begin that it is a total war, Russia against the West, right? But he's looking at it holistically, diplomatic, informational, military, economic, you know, spycraft, lawfare. And unfortunately, our own, you know, administration, the Washington experts, they have two tricks, you know, in the bag. They have economic sanctions that pretty much have backfired at us and at Europe because Russia and Putin are so adept at using that energy weapon. And the second trick that we have is our superior military. But what's happening right now, they're giving Ukraine just enough weaponry to keep this conflict going to, as a protracted, you know, battle because they're so afraid of Putin's nuclear trump card, but not enough weaponry for Ukraine to actually not only hold the line,
but to take
but
back,
to reclaim that 20% of the territory. And that's the stalemate that we have right now.
So somebody we know did things a little bit differently. When we were in the White House, let me ask you again to put your Ushanka on, put on your Putin's hat and think like he does for a second. How significant was it that President Trump, when we were in the White House, when he was stirring things up in Syria, told the Pentagon, okay, you found 200 Wagner Group Russian mercenaries in Syria, kill them, Secretary Mattis. And when U.S. forces actually killed more than 200 Russians in Syria and Putin didn't react, what conclusions did he draw about President Trump?
Putin concluded that President Trump means business. In other words, he's not a BSer, you know, unlike President Joe Biden. So that definitely sent a signal.
He didn't think that Trump is afraid of him, did he?
Trump?
Putin.
No, it's the other way around.
Right.
Putin was afraid of Trump. Yes, Trump never actually called Putin a killer or any of those things. But
which rarely happens. I'm trying to remember when the left wing went crazy about, what was it, the Helsinki meeting. And they're saying, why don't you call him a killer in public? I'm trying to remember which president, even during the Cold War, to the face of a Soviet leader said you're a murderer. I don't think anybody did.
Well, because there's no point,
There's no point.
Once you call them a murderer, you can't really deal with them, and you have to deal with the nuclear power. But most importantly, Trump understood that Putin is afraid of action. He was afraid when Trump authorized the offensive cyber operations against Russia and other, you know, foreign adversaries that dare to hack our network. Putin understood that very well. He understood when 300 Wagner mercenaries were killed. But right now, all we have is talk, you know.
Well, and weak talk. It's very mild talk. It's not strong talk. It's kind of, well, we'll see what kind of war it is.
Yeah.
That's what Biden said. What kind of incursion? Yeah. Well, that's a green light.
Oh, he exactly green-lighted it. Yes. And in fact, he ceded the strategic initiative in this conflict, because the Russians lined up everything. They were standing up troops, military hardware, field hospitals, blood supplies, and somehow still Biden's diplomats were continuing to negotiate the so-called security guarantees, even though both sides knew they were unachievable. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
No, you can't. If you read in a Tom Clancy novel, you'd say, no, Tom, you've gone a little bit far this time. Her website is RebeccaKoffler.com. That's R-E-B-E-K-A-H Koffler, K-O-F-F-L-E-R, and the book is Putin's Playbook. It is coming out in paperback next week. I like hardback better, so you can get the hardback now and get the paperback next week. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that's real, pain relief that is liberating. 500,000 Americans right now, me included. But it's not just me. It's people like Alicia from California. This is Alicia's story. I'm a grocery store worker and have been working doubles during the coronavirus shutdown. At 52 years old, my two bad knees were not getting a rest. I literally limped to and from bed. Two days into Relief Factor, and the pain has decreased substantially. So thankful for this amazing product. That should be your story. That could be your story, but there's only one way to find out. But it's easy. Go to ReliefFactor.com, order the three-week quick starter pack. It'll be at your front door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do, and I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Alicia, and 500,000 other Americans. You've waited long enough. You know it makes sense. What have you got to lose except the pain? 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. All right, we're going to cram it all in. I'm going to ask all the big questions. You still have to get her book, Putin's Playbook, but I'm going to ask the big questions here. What is, because this is what, you know, when you do the SWOT analysis, the strengths, weaknesses, objectives, tactics of your enemy, you have to ask the question, what are they planning? What is the end state, the strategic objective for Putin? If he can get away with it, what does he wish? Because as far as I'm concerned, he doesn't want just a chunk of Ukraine. If you listen to the speeches he's made about Poland and the Baltics, it's not just about Donetsk and Luhansk, but you're the expert. What does Vladimir Putin want on the long term?
So right now he wants the whole thing. And in fact, Foreign Minister Lavrov today announced that, well, the scope of the so-called special operations in Ukraine has expanded beyond the Donetsk and Luhansk. And now he was literally naming it. He said, now we want Kherson, now we want Zaporozhye. But really, he wants the whole thing. He does not want to control it in the sense that make Ukraine part of Russia, right? Because Ukraine right now is a basket case. Ukraine is economically so weak. The United States is basically, you know, pumping up so much aid. We have provided, in the 5 months alone, we provided more aid in terms of traditional foreign aid and security assistance to Ukraine in weaponry more than during 5 years in Afghanistan, right? Wow. During the Biden administration alone, we provided $8 billion, and Congress has already approved additional $54 billion. Right. So Putin understands that he doesn't want this basket case, but what he wants a puppet regime in Kiev that will not join NATO, will not continue.
He wants something like Belarus.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes. That
he wants a fake Lukashenko regime. Are you surprised that he didn't manage to decapitate Zelensky? Oh, by the way, guys, I haven't mentioned this in weeks. If you go to our web page, it's one of the hottest selling items at the beginning of the war. Let's show them some love in Ukraine. This is the T-shirt we had made with the president of Ukraine. His message to Biden, I don't need a ride. I need ammunition. This is their 1776. Get all of your America First gear at SebGorkaStore.com. This is their revolution, and we should be supporting them to fight it for themselves. That's SebGorkaStore.com. Rebecca, are you surprised that they didn't manage to decapitate Kiev?
I'm surprised, and that is pretty much credit to Zelensky. Zelensky has exhibited tremendous will to fight. His security services are outstanding, because remember, the Wagner Group and the Kandyrovtsy are on the hunt. To this day,
the mercenaries are looking. Yes,
because the easiest thing it would be if they were able to have Zelensky, you know, assassinated and install their own puppet government.
Also, he's been incredibly good at information operations. I mean, in comparison to Putin, looks like a guy who doesn't even know what the internet is in comparison to Zelensky.
I know. Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
Zelensky is basically, you know, he is playing a very, very sophisticated game. And he is using his talents as an actor. Remember, he is very, very talented. And so he is able just to, like, press the right buttons. You know, he is putting, you know, Congress into tears, you know, when he gives his speeches.
United Nations, right.
Yes. And, you know, good for him. His country is under attack. He needs everything that we could possibly get. But we need to remember that Ukraine's national interests and U.S. national interests are not one and the same either. Yes, we want everybody to live in a democracy. We want Ukrainians. We want Afghanis. But the fact of the matter remains is Ukraine is still a corrupt country. It's not a perfect case, you know, perfect candidate for the Jeffersonian-style democracy. And in fact, all this weaponry that we're providing, we're now depleting our own weapons supplies.
Right.
Exactly. And we have other, you know, major threats. We got China. We got Iran. So we need to look really holistically. And unfortunately, President Biden, you know, he fails to understand the principal rule of strategy. You don't push adversaries closer together and allies away, because Russia and China are now cooperating, Russia and North Korea, Russia and Iran, you know, and Russia and Saudi Arabia. Because remember how Biden was thumbing his nose at Saudi Arabia because of the Khashoggi deal. You know,
but then he needed some cheap oil, so he went on bended knee to the Hijaz to ask for some cheap oil. Rebecca, what do we do with all these reports? He looks a little heavy, but this guy isn't insane. Putin isn't under the effect of steroids or anabolic steroids. I mean, this is a guy who is doing what he's been planning to do for 30 years, correct?
Absolutely correct. No, he's not insane. He's very rational. It's just that he's thinking is KGB colonel. He's not like he's not a John Kerry or a Kirby or Jake Sullivan,
right,
or any of those, you know.
But they don't get that. What is the status of society in Russia today? I imagine that the control of the internet and media is at almost 100% when it comes to the war, correct?
Absolutely, yes. It worries me. Russia is basically reverting into the Soviet-style authoritarian state that it used to be when I was growing up there.
Pravda, Tass, Vestia, controlled information.
Exactly. We were listening, you know, to Voice of America and Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, but we were not allowed to. We did that, you know, being afraid, yes, just to get the truth. And so right now it's going back to that, you know, type of rigid control.
And anybody who disagrees, prison or disappeared, correct?
Yeah.
So the idea of some kind of opposition that's going to replace him?
No. It's just not viable. That's just not how things work in Russia. I mean, his approval rating is still at 82-83%.
Wow.
I mean, because the Russians believe that Ukraine truly belongs to Russia, because remember, it's centuries and centuries of history, and you can't rewrite all of that.
Even if you know the real history, which is that Rus, the heartland, the Ukrainian state existed before the Duchy of Muscovy or Russia was created. So if anybody had an excuse to invade somebody, it would have been Ukraine invading Russia. But, you know, KGB colonels get to make up history. We're talking to Rebecca Koffler. The book is Putin's Playbook. Get it now. It also is available paperback. This is America First, one-on-one, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Are you in daily pain? Have you tried everything else only to fail to find relief? If that's the case, you've got to try this 100% drug-free product that is liberating 500,000 Americans from daily pain every single day, me included. But it's not just me. It's people like Leah from Ohio. This is her story. I sat on my couch in so much pain I was in tears. That's the day I ordered Relief Factor. Following directions, in 8 days, I found relief only to get better and better. I am a believer 100%. That's an amazing story that you deserve to find out if you could be the next one of. Find out today. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at ReliefFactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G is guaranteed by the end of those three weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Leah, and tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of your fellow Americans. Call today, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. Thank you guys for all the very, very kind comments about the new Dr. G. Yes, we have a Mark II, new and improved. I've lost 34 pounds in less than 2 months. Look at this collar. It doesn't even fit me anymore. It's ridiculous. Thanks to the amazing offices of Dr. Ashley Lucas and her PhD nutrition and weight loss team. A real diet that works. I've been trying for 20 years. This is the first one. No stupid calorie counting, no starvation, just resetting your body chemistry to burn the fat. Find out today. You won't be disappointed. Call 864-644-1900 or just go to myphdweightloss.com. That's 864-644-1900, myphdweightloss.com. Final question, Rebecca. If there's no nascent or even functioning internal resistance, if there's no palace coup, if some hardliners or if there's no oligarchs who want to get rid of Putin, I still have to ask you, he's not going to live forever. What happens after Putin? He has a family. He has, I think, a daughter by somebody or a girlfriend or what have you. Yeltsin disappeared after Putin promised not to prosecute him and his family. What is there going to be? Just somebody anointed? Medvedev, I understand, is an alcoholic now. He doesn't function. So is Putin going to anoint somebody who's going to protect him and his family, like Yeltsin is protected before, you know, he died? What is your possible scenario for after Putin?
That's exactly how it works. The Russian Constitution does not have a provision for a peaceful transition of power, right? That's how things work in Russia. The Kremlin stooges are all watching for Putin to actually anoint and select somebody. And my analysis right now is that it is Nikolai Patrushev who will take over if Putin were to slip on a cabbage peel and or go under the knife for surgery, or actually if he decides to call it quits, which I don't really anticipate.
Right.
Putin has the type of personality that he's going to basically stay there until the end, possibly until 2036. But Patrushev...
And who is this Patrushev?
Oh, Patrushev is he's the head of Russia's Security Council, which is a rough equivalent. The role that he has is the rough equivalent of U.S. National Security advisor.
But a little bit different from Drake Sullivan.
Oh my gosh.
That will be the subject for our next discussion. I think the Russian Federation's NSA National Security Advisor Yeah, probably a little bit different from the, what was it Rush Limbaugh used to call Adam Schiff, the pencil neck? Yes, the pencil neck Jake Sullivan. All right, we've had too much fun. We're out of time, guys. You know what to do. Make sure you are subscribed to America First One-on-One. Make sure you get Rebecca's book. Follow her on Twitter, Rebecca0132. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This has been Newsmax. This has been Newsmax. That's on Sunday. This has been Salem. Wherever you are, keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take. But as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
I have a dream.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you, the rest of the world hears you, and the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
When we disagree, it'll be just like, so far, it's been just like when Barack and I did. It's in private. She'll say, I think we should do A, B, C, or D. And I'll say, I like A, don't like B and C. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. I told Barack, if I reach something where there's a fundamental disagreement we have based on a moral principle, I'll develop some disease and say I have to resign.
Develop a disease. It's funny how that clip kind of disappeared. Welcome, dear friends. This is America First with me, your host, Sebastian Gorka. That was from the transition offices. That was when President-elect Biden was being interviewed and asked a question about whether any action will have to be taken if he has a substantive disagreement with his vice president. And what was his answer? It's very strange, and it bears repeating given the events of the last 24 hours. Let's just remind everybody what he said yesterday in that godforsaken piece of real estate in Massachusetts. Play cut, Eric.
Off the window. That's why I and so damn many other people I grew up have cancer, and why I can't for the longest time. Delaware had the highest cancer rate in the nation.
Why so many people I grew up with and myself have, present tense, cancer, which is the first we've heard anything about it. And I don't mean the skin melanomas that the Washington Post are trying to make use as cover. Have cancer? That's the present tense, you hacks. And then we have the news today. I tweeted it out this morning as soon as I heard it, that he has COVID, the other C, not cancer, but COVID. How many times has he been boosted with the Trump vaccine? Very strange, isn't it? But let's listen to what he said again, and let's analyze it, and let's think about what this could mean given his current lack of popularity. Again, after the election, when this aged, decrepit individual somehow got more votes than the first black president and got more votes than President Trump, who, by the way, statement of historic empirical fact, got more votes than any other incumbent president in history. And this old duffer beat him. And then he's asked what's going to happen when you take over and if you have a disagreement with the cackler, with Kamala. Again, what did he say he'd do? Play cut.
When we disagree, it'll be just like, so far, it's been just like when Barack and I did. It's in private. She'll say, I think we should do A, B, C, or D. and I'll say, I like A, don't like B and C. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. But, and I, like I told Barack, if I reach something where there's a fundamental disagreement we have based on a moral principle, I'll develop some disease and say I have to resign.
I'll develop some disease and I'll resign. But you're the president. Mr. G, I you were born here. I'm only an immigrant. That's why you are my sanity check. But can I just triple verify? The vice president works for the president. It's not the other way around, right?
Usually.
Good answer. Usually. Because what is he saying? He's saying there, if he disagrees with his deputy, he's the one that's going to resign? How does that work?
It should be the other way around, that Kamala would resign.
Right.
I think he screwed up the story that was his deal, that basically saying with Obama.
Oh, no. So you think he was saying that Kamala would resign?
Yes, he was trying to say that, because I think that.
Hang on. This is even better. So he'd make the colored woman resign on a lie?
Yes.
Ooh. Ouch. Thank you, Jeff. A little bit of an extra sanity check there. But either way. All right. As soon as I posted that he had COVID, which has been confirmed by the White House, somebody reached out to me. Somebody who has very good connections, especially with a certain branch of the army that flies a certain type of aircraft for a certain type of politician. And he said something to me about Biden's health that I am having verified right now. I've reached out to the biggest conservative news entity out there. No names, no pack drill, and they are on the case. But you're the most important thing, guys. All 3 million of you listening right now. So I'll say the following. He may not have misspoken yesterday in Massachusetts. Or he may be about to do what he said he was going to do for Obama. Invent a condition? What kind of person invents a condition when they've been elected by the, well, quote-unquote elected or selected by the American people? Strange, right? I mean, he's underwater. He's more unpopular today, according to the latest polling, than President Trump was after January 6th. Can we just let that sink in for a second? He's a year and a half into his first and only term. Let me guarantee you that. Whatever he says, there's no way health-wise he's making it to a second term, whether he has a disease or not. But he's more underwater. He's more unpopular with the American people than my former boss was after the events of January 6th. If you're Nancy Pelosi, if you're Chuck Schumer, if you're the squad, if you're the big donors to the Democrat Party, if you're the unions, what do you think right now? You know what they're thinking. How do we get rid of this person yesterday? Now, of course, the problem is Kamala. And I had a Salem colleague of mine, God love you, buddy, who texted me, but Kamala's going to be harder to beat in 2024. Are you kidding me? This woman will be even more incompetent. Look at everything we've shown you for the last year and a half. Every week she said something incomprehensible. Yes, this guy has gaffes about his hairy legs and corn pop and everything else, but she can't make one sentence that actually has meaningful content. And if you thought 9.1% inflation was bad, wait till the cackler gets into the Oval Office. It's going to be a cakewalk for President Trump. Yes, a cakewalk if we secure the elections. Does he have cancer? Does he really have COVID? Is he going to invent a disease like he said he would for Obama? Or is he going to tell Kamala to do that? It's so bizarre. It's an Alice in Wonderland bizarro world. What do you think's going on? And is it going to get worse under Kamala? We have some great guests for you today. We have a very special one-on-one. Please, signed off. Give us your take on what's going on in American politics. The number here, 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. Guarantee that you never, ever miss one of our one-on-one discussions with the real newsmakers, the true experts. You can guarantee that for yourself if you go to your favorite podcast platform. Go to Spotify, plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. It's absolutely free. While you're there, write us a 5-star review. Send the links out to all your friends because we have to push back daily on the lies. I'm Sebastian Gorka, and this is America First.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.